Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I had been a Lutheran pastor for about 10 years when I received this telephone call. It was a call for a private confession and absolution. Truth be told, I had been providing a congregation corporate absolution for many years, and I suspect that I had begun to take this gift for granted. This was a unique situation. That is, I had not ever before received a private confession. But it was also unique because the fellow who called was a fellow clergyman, and he was not a Lutheran. He came to my office. I invited him to sit down. I sat across from him, and in halting fashion, he tried to begin. "I'll hear your confession now," I said. And so he began to blurt it out. I don't remember what time of the church year it was. I do not remember the sin that he confessed. What I do remember is that God taught me in no uncertain terms the power of his word, the gift of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. My fellow clergyman became very restless in his seat, trying to explain his situation. He moved past that quickly and just began confessing to Christ and could no longer sit in his chair and was on his knees on the floor in front of me. His eyes were closed, his head was bowed, he was talking directly to his Lord. And when the confession was finished, I waited a moment and stood to declare the absolution. I placed my hands on his head, and I spoke the words that our Savior has commanded. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I announce to you the grace of God, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I made the sign of the cross on his forehead, and the shoulders of my brother clergyman began to shake as he realized that he was reconciled to God, that his sins were completely washed away, that he was clean and restored to God by the forgiving word of Christ. There are some things that set us apart as Lutherans. We baptize infants. We believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the bread and cup. And we declare the forgiveness of sins in the name of Christ to all who repent and believe. Frankly, the first two, though different from other Protestants, don't seem to get them too rankled. But this third one, forgiving sins in the name of Christ, seems to really raise their ire. Angry they are with us. I've seen people disagree about this and was the subject of such disagreement on occasion. I remember one time when a fellow came up to me after the service, red-faced and wagging his finger. "You cannot forgive sins," he said. "You cannot say that. You cannot say it. Who do you think you are? God?" Today we're going to talk about this practice of ours, confession and absolution. Why do we do such a thing, and on what basis do we justify the practice? Point one, commanded by Christ. The first and simplest answer as to why we do this is because the Holy Word of God tells us to. Amen? Here is the word of Jesus Christ heard in the gospel text. "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And he breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Jesus says, I send you. In like manner as I have been sent, I send you. You are to be my witnesses. You are to be my ambassadors. Preach the word that you heard and received from me. Declare the word in order that people may be delivered from sin and death. Wow. The disciples of Jesus are commanded to remit and to retain sins. They can and they must do this. They must remit the sins of all who repent and believe, for they cannot do otherwise. Whose sins will they remit? All who repent and believe. They can and must retain the sins of all who do not repent and do not believe. They cannot do otherwise. Whose sins will they retain? All who do not repent and do not believe. If the disciples of Jesus do otherwise, they will forfeit their right to be his witnesses, his ambassadors, his disciples. Why? Because it is Jesus Christ who remits sins, and it is Jesus Christ who retains sins. It is by his act, by his command, and by his will that they will do this. He has commanded, and he will act through them. Let us understand what's going on here. The depth and breadth of sin and God's forgiveness. God's word goes out, and his law declares. His law is forceful. His law is relentless. His law indicts me. It judges me. It will not let me go. Judgment has found me. It indicts me, and I hear myself declare. I have placed myself above God. I have placed my own will above God's will. I have not cared for others, not even my own parents, my own children. I place myself above them all. I am selfish, resentful. I'm unforgiving. I have lied to serve myself and protect myself. I have lusted after relationships, positions, wealth, security. I, the sinner, cannot escape myself. I cannot escape my sin. It adheres to me. It will not go away. There is no effort that I can make that will ever free myself from my sin, my soul sickness. I'm ashamed, for it condemns me, and God's judgment is inescapable. Surely I am doomed. And then comes the happy, holy gospel word of God. It is magnificent. It is jubilant as it pierces my heart. It is the word of the cross, the word of the Savior. Te absolvo, I forgive you. It washes over me like a holy bath. For once again, the laver, the waters of baptism are refreshing me. And it is not a partial gift. It is a complete word. I forgive you completely. Go ahead, try to get a hold of that. There is no residue. No lingering stain, no sin to separate me from God. My sin is separated from me as far as the east is from the west, and my God can remember it no more. Oh, holy word, oh, gracious word. The explosive power of this word has not only washed us, but now is resident within us. It lives in us. It's in our hearts. It's in our mouths. As his disciples, he has given it to us. So his disciples speak, and they must speak. In the stead and by the command of the blessed Savior Jesus, the disciple cannot do otherwise. And when the disciple speaks, it is Christ himself speaking, forgiving, absolving. Point two, equipped by Jesus. Jesus equips his disciples to speak his word that remits and retains sins. This may be offensive to some. They may not like the idea that a person has such power and authority, but this is exactly what Jesus Christ has said and done. He charges and commissions his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Because the disciples of Christ are weak and incapable of exercising such authority on their own merit, Jesus equips them with special power, and he breathes upon them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They are now ready. They are equipped. As Luther declares in a sermon the first Sunday of Easter, 1540, "Christ our Lord said to his disciples and to entire Christendom, 'I command and beg you that you shall forgive and retain sins. Whatever you do, this then, you do not of yourselves, but because you are doing it at my command and bidding, therefore,' says Christ, 'I do it myself.'" We should understand that this command and commission are given by Christ to the whole church, and that the church has designated by ordination that some will speak this word of God's saving forgiveness publicly on behalf of all, but any and all who believe in Christ Jesus may speak this word privately and with the same certainty of Christ's forgiveness. And so Luther writes in the same sermon, "They are to know that such an office and work cannot be carried out in their own strength, but in his power through the Holy Spirit who operates through their office and word. And it shall be thus the office of the Holy Spirit, who is given for this purpose by Christ, that although the message seems but weak and nothing more than a weak breath out of the mouth of men, yet such power shall be exercised through it that sin, God's wrath, death, and hell must yield to it." Why is absolution, the declaration of the forgiveness of sin, so precious to us? First, it is precious because it is commanded in the Holy Bible, given to us by Christ. Second, it is precious to us because Christ himself has equipped us for this purpose by giving us the Holy Spirit. But there is one more reason that it is precious to us. And yes, we've come to the final and third point. It is needed by all. Several years ago, I was invited to Zimbabwe in southern Africa to do a mission among the Shona people. And I was invited by a dear friend to a seminary that he had established, a Bible seminary, not a Lutheran seminary, but he invited me just the same. I was in particular invited to spend a morning with pastors who had returned to the seminary for courses. These pastors had walked 2 and 3 days out of the bush to the seminary on the outskirts of Harare, Zimbabwe. And I thought to myself, these men, they regularly are cursed by shaman and witch doctors. They are persecuted for their faith. Every means of physical and spiritual persecution is rallied against them. Their faith has been tried, tested, and proven. It is these men who should be teaching me. What have I to share? And instead of trying to wow them with some erudition, I thought it meet and right to remind them of the truth of the sin that we share and the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And so though I did not know these men well and personally, I do know sin well, and began to speak of sin and the desperate need that each of us have for a Savior, and the power of the crucified Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that comes from his sacrifice, the promise of eternal life given to all who believe. I began to call them to repent. And then I talked about the one who became cursed in order to remove the curse from us. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. He came to set captives free, to release us from bondage, from shame. And then I invited these wonderful men to come forward. You see, they had never been instructed in confession and absolution. I didn't know that. But as I provided them with the Word of God and told the story of the sacrifice of Christ and gave the assurance of the forgiveness of sin, and then invited them to come, they literally burst out of their seats and began running to the altar. I had to slow them down. Whoa, I said, single file, stand in a single file here and wait. And I went to the chancel area, far enough away so that I knew that as each one came forward, he could not be heard by the others. And I invited the first man to come forward, and as he began to come forward, the weight of his sin and the specific realities that he was about to confess began to weigh him down. I could see him literally falling as he was coming up the steps, beginning to weep. He made it to me and fell on his knees before me. I whispered in his ear, I will hear your confession now. And he began sobbing this confession. And when he finished, I placed my hands upon his head and said, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I announce to you the grace of God, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, I'm a German-born, raised Lutheran kid, and what I expected was that he would get up and go back to his pew. No, this African man who had never received God's absolution fell in a wet puddle in front of the altar of God. And I figured, well, I'll move over for the next. And did. I moved to the far corner of the chancel and invited the next fellow. We rehearsed the same scene. Some fell into my arms, some fell on the floor. Hearing the words of absolution, they came one at a time. For some 2 hours, they patiently waited for the incredible celestial gift, the heavenly blessing of hearing the word of Christ declared over them that they were clean. The third reason that the word of Christ's forgiveness is so precious to us is because we desperately need it. We're commanded by Scripture, we are equipped by the Spirit, and we are in desperate need of the life-giving, life-changing word of Christ's forgiveness that sets us free. We hear at the beginning of the service, we will hear it here at the Lord's altar. We will be hungry to hear it again and again. Conclusion, it's short, here it comes. Do not ever relinquish this holy and precious gift that has been given to you by Christ himself. Regardless of the intimidation or persecution or accusation, do not give up this gift for the sake of Christ and for the sake of his people. Be always ready to declare the absolution of sins to any and all who repent and believe. The absolution in your mouth takes dominion over sin, death, the devil, and even the wrath of God. For when you are obedient to our Lord's command to forgive, it is Christ Himself who does it. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.